Washbag.
Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Washbag Swindon FC podcast. I'm Ron Smith. What was all that about yesterday? Seven goals, Swindon scored five against a team managed by Clough Jr. on the 10th anniversary of his father's death. Clearly there's no sentiment in football. So we've learned that those who put money on Sheffield United to win the title were seriously misled. Can Swindon now prove us, myself included, wrong and maintain or better their playoff position? Meanwhile, are there too many outlets to read Swindon Town news on a daily basis? Do you have enough time to follow what's going on, let alone even listen to this podcast? So thanks for listening if you are tuned in. The first, my guest, is part of the explosion of media in Swindon. A little bit, anyway. It's Flick Wiltshire's sports editor, Andrew Steele-Davis.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi there. Welcome. And I did ask you before, what does Flick actually mean?
I could come up with something really great, couldn't I? But I'm going to be boring, so I don't actually think it's going to mean anything. I think it was just something that was just a name that was conjured up by the previous owner of the company, and it sort of was kept on, you know, as when the current owner bought it. You know, it gets everyone talking, doesn't it? You know, everyone's trying to work out what it means, but I don't think it's going to mean anything.
So it stands for quality journalism.
I'd hope to think that's the case, but you know, I'm sure some people would argue against that. So
right, well, attendances are declining at Swindon Town. It's also a big hot topic, so my second guest is particularly interested in working with the club to achieve greater numbers through the gate. It's Trust STFC, brother. Chairman Steve Myton. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Ron. Good morning.
Hello, good to see you again.
Good to see you again. I haven't seen you for ages.
I know, since a couple of days, probably. And also, we're making his podcast debut. A man who is without any title, unfortunately. So I've only prepared this real briefest of introductions. I haven't got them. Neil Cameron.
Thank you. No, thank you.
And what do you think of Jake Reeves' Alice Band?
Patrick Berger-esque, I'm sure you'd agree. I think that's no bad thing. We've known each other for a number of years, so lovely to be here.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, more of the same, please.
Before we reflect on the Sheffield United game, we started a new feature on the site the past fortnight. We're looking at the best I've ever seen. STFC can be anything to do with a game, goal, a kit, best kit you've ever seen, performance. First person we've inducted, Alex Cook, did Rory Fallon for his overhead kick against Bristol City back in 2004 for the best goal he's ever seen. Vic Morgan then put into the vault Will Dixon for the best player he's ever seen before our times. Looking around the table, Steve?
Even me, yeah.
Even you, good. Yeah. So just quickly, go around the table. Andrew, best you've ever seen? Could be any sort of category. Best. Make it quick.
Best I've ever seen. Putting on the spot now.
Goal?
Come back to him.
Yeah, come back to him.
Steve, then.
Me on the spot.
What scene that you're actually kind of giving me?
Best controversial moment, I think, was when I saw a chap climb on top of the town end and stand there for the entire second half smoking a cigarette. I've never seen it before since.
Was that back in sort of 2003?
It probably was about 10 years ago.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable, but very dangerous. Nobody should repeat or attempt to do that again, I hasten to add.
Right, Neil.
Trained wrestlers.
Was that you, Neil, on the roof of the town end?
No, it wasn't. That was,
sure.
Yeah, I think it was Yoda, wasn't it, from memory serves. No, you mentioned comebacks there. I mean, that made me think of that game against Sheffield Wednesday, I suppose, which is not necessarily delving the depths of imagination, but when they 2-0 down with 10 minutes to go and won it 3-2. So
how long ago was that one? I can't quite remember that.
Maybe 10 or 11 years. Yeah. Or so
well,
again,
the best comeback I saw was the, I was actually at the game, Birmingham away. 4-1 up, and we 4-1 down, and we won 6-4.
That one.
Classic day.
I might have to get you to actually write that one up to put actually on the side.
I was a little tipsy for most of it, so I might.
Andrew, come on.
Best goal had to be Simon Cox's against Warsaw.
Oh, yeah.
3 years ago. I can't remember what season it was, but
wonderful, wasn't it?
He was just he had a habit of producing wonderful goals. I think it was that pre-season where he scored a similar goal against Fenerbahce.
Yeah, Fenerbahce, yes.
And, it was a wonderful goal from a wonderful player. And nice to see him back in the goals at Reading.
Yeah, just wish he'd stayed around for longer because he was just fantastic watching so regularly. Right, well, anyway, if you've want to induct something into the Best I've Seen vault, then please get in touch via email address, which is thewashbag@gmail.com, and we'll get in touch and get your entry onto the feature onto the site. So, Sheffield United game, Town stormed to 5 goals, completely controlled the game. I didn't really expect that Swindon would, well, Sheffield United would allow us to have so much of the game, let alone come away with such a comprehensive victory. Where shall I start? Who wants to start me off on the game? Andrew, I mean, you're in the press box. You spoke to Cooper,
yeah,
after the game.
If you look at the when we played him last season in with Louis Thompson's last goal, I think that was the sort of same feeling where I don't think anyone expected them to give Swindon as much respect or as much time as they did. But yesterday, I think it was a performance that summed up this season in my eyes. I mean, the level of football has gone up another notch or two. I mean, it's quite, you know, without trying to put too much hyperbole on it as a member of the press, but sitting there at points yesterday watching some of the football, you do think, does this, you know, really belong in League One?
But how does it compare to, I mean, I remember at this time last season going, say, along to the Wolves away game, which was a fantastic performance. It was it's the early parts of August, September last year, we were simply just completely riding roughshod over teams and dominating games, and then it got more difficult as the season had gone on. Do you think we're going to be able to continue it through for longer?
We're more robust this year, we're more resolute. I think last year we were a little bit all over the place at the back, and obviously we still are at points this season, but I said before we started that yesterday's game, when Sheffield United got back into it, the Bradford game last week, the Luton game in the Cup, even the Gillingham game to an extent, I think if you would have taken those scenarios last season, I think it's fair to say that they would have caved in at least in probably 90-95% of them. And I just think this year there's a more confidence about them all round, and a more, you know, even when the going gets tough, they dig in, and I think that's down to the team spirit. I remember, you know, it was only a little point, but yesterday in the first half, Jordan Turnbull and Wes Fodringham, you know, they were being chased down by, I think, 3 Sheffield United attackers and sort of penned them in, but there was no panic. You know, you just look at Jordan Turnbull, and it was almost like he's finding it funny. There was no panic whatsoever.
That's right. I mean, there wasn't a mistake yesterday, Neil, in that defensive area where they've got control of the ball, playing very deep, and obviously Yasser comes as well, which was great to see that there wasn't any sort of cock up between them.
I think
so. That sort of confidence is running through.
I do think there are still some elements of frailty at the back, but it's still a learning process, isn't it? I think hopefully there's a lot of positives they can take from yesterday in terms of how they understand their ground, and it did look for a while like they could end up in 3-3, couldn't it? And they were on the ropes, so to go up the other end and then they got that fourth goal was crucial and was very reassuring, I thought. But I do fear that those kind of games will be in the minority this season. Teams like United coming there and letting us play football, or trying to play good football as well. I think, unfortunately, that the game Tuesday night against Oldham, there's probably going to be realistically more games like that, I fear, where give them their due, they play well. They really did a number on us for large parts of the game, and I thought it's hard to say that Swindon deserved all 3 points from that game, in all honesty. So
yeah.
I think, you know, the more hype there is surrounding the good football, I suppose realistically there's going to be a lot of teams come here and just try and really get in our faces and sort of asphyxiate the game and stop us playing. So we should see what happens, but as I say, there's a lot of positives to take from yesterday, hopefully. So.
I mean, Steve, the performance from Swin's perspective was a lot more, obviously a lot more goals, but was it just down to Sheffield United? Just they don't play the press, as Neil says, they don't play the pressing game or control like Oldham.
Well, I mean, let's face it, they're no mugs, Sheffield United. They were a place above us at the start of the game.
Yeah.
They'll have done their homework. They'll have been at the Oldham game. They'll have seen what
they should have done.
Well, I'm sure they did.
They had a scout, though. You should have been sacked.
Well, I mean, Oldham have been... that was a surprise to me, because I think they clearly had a game plan that they worked to, and it works for them. They were a bigger unit, maybe, quite physical, lots of niggly tackles. And I think, you know, we've been doing this for a year or more now, this football, so it's not a surprise. All the players are a year older. They're all growing, they're all getting better. Some of the newer faces are sort of fitting in with the style a lot more. We've got our best borrowed defender potentially still to come in, so that should shore things up at the back.
Actually, good point. You're sort of raising Stevens now, but who does he come in to replace in that back three? You've obviously got Thompson in the middle, Branco and Turnbull. Who do you see sort of?
Well, I'm not sure. Away? I'm not sure Cooper will give a go with a set three or whatever. I think he's going to maybe rotate them around dependent on form. That we've got that luxury to do now. I think the most likely candidate probably is Branco, which would be a little bit unfortunate for him. I think he's been great this year, and I think he's a great character on the pitch as well. But no, I think there's so much to be confident about. That yesterday was very Barcelona-esque, really, wasn't it? It was absolutely stunning football. I've looked at the Football League highlights this morning.
Yeah, same here. Several times.
Yeah, I always do a run through of two or three goes, you know. Mm. Disappointed they missed the build-up to a few of those goals. They've just gone with a sort of end section. But I think on YouTube yesterday, I saw a clip, I think, for Obika's goal. I mean, stunning sort of set of combination passes that goes on and on and on and ends, culminates in a goal.
Mm.
I mean, League One, this is amazing football, you know. And
Which is great when you've got Obika and you've got a player who yesterday didn't do anything with the exception of, in the first half, he had the header, which... was pretty much straight at the keeper.
Yeah.
And then second half, all that he had was the ball come to him, controlled it, and placed it in the net. And that's no criticism of him in the sense that he didn't do anything, but because he's just got to step up and do something at the right time. And if he gets one goal from his two shots, I think he just had two shots in the game.
He had that one in the first half from Brad Smith's cutback where he lashed it wide, didn't
oh,
he?
Oh, yeah, yes.
But I think...
But you obviously concentrate on the game more than me.
I did a little piece on him in the week, and I think last year I heard so many times, and it was right, where we needed like a fox in the box striker, and that was missing, and we've got that now. And
is he the nasty striker that Di Canio always said that he?
Well, time will tell if he's that nasty striker. I'm trying not to again, mix it up too much because he's only played. Three games and there was so much. I wouldn't call it negativity. It was from certain sections, but there was so much sort of an underwhelming feeling on his arrival. And I think you've got to give credit where credit is due. And he's coming in. All of his goal yesterday as well.
Well taken.
His previous three before that were typical, just scrappy goals. But I think that's what, the team have been missing. I think even since the Charlie Austin days and. Obika and Smith seem to be,
good partnership.
Partnership. So, again, it's another reason to be positive.
Yeah, and you've got some, obviously, Andy Williams coming off the bench in two games. And was it two? He scored two goals coming off the bench twice. It doesn't happen much, Neil. I mean, that you actually have a strike on the bench. I mean, Miles Storey, to some extent in the past, has come off and scored notably against Villa last year. But
Connell as well.
That is true. Yeah, he got about 12 goals from off the bench.
No, I'm quietly hopeful that Beak will be the guy who chips in with goals perhaps a bit more regularly. I have a slight concern maybe Smith and Williams are perhaps being confidence players, has been hinted at. Might blow hot and cold a little bit. So Smith started the season on fire, didn't he? And then he's gone through that barren spell.
He only scores two goals in a game, doesn't he, really? Yeah. He's got two against Scunthorpe, two against Luton, two against... Sheffield United.
So if Obika's output is more consistent, then that's got to be a good thing. Yeah, as you say, if he's just a guy in the right place who can bundle the ball in from a set play or something, that's good. I mean, there's enough guys can chip in with goals, hopefully, from midfield anyway, but just in case Williams or Smith are not at the races necessarily.
And we're lucky that Smith is... His work rate yesterday was fantastic, and that just kind of compensates for Obika trying to get into the position to be able to be the poacher. And the player. I mean, we need someone, Stevie, who's going to score 20-odd goals a year. I mean, every team does. That's the...
The key to success, really, isn't it? Having the goal scorers up there. But we've got at least three there that can go into double figures this year. And I think, that's a really great position to be in. Maybe the fourth striker, that's maybe the bit we're missing. I think all good... if you look at the classic teams over the years, they've usually had two main ones and two that can swap in and out. I think we've got three, that's not bad, so maybe the fourth could be...
But at least we've got midfield that chips in goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
I had Lewis Thompson yesterday. Kazim's been scoring, and his free kicks are getting ever so more accurate. Mm. He had the one that clipped the crossbar yesterday as well. Towards, in the first
half, he switched feet as well on one of them. I noticed.
Did he?
Yeah. He sort of changed position at the last moment and clipped it the other way. So
what with the right foot? Left foot.
Left foot. Yeah. Left foot.
I think Mass will get into double figures this season. Mm. Yeah, they've been working on a lot over the pre-season of getting into more sort of dangerous positions to score, and they're certainly looking at him as to be the main midfield man to get the goals. But going back to Michael Smith again with a beaker, I think you've got to give Michael Smith a lot of praise, because for me his hold-up play and link-up play has improved a lot this season, and yesterday it was in play again. And again, comparing the sort of two games, so the one yesterday and the one we played against him in March, I think that was the period where Smith was really having a tough time from the fans for his hold-up and link-up play. And you've got to give him credit for going away and working that. We talked to him in the week, and he was keen to mention that a lot, the fact that he has been working on it, and he is determined to prove himself to the fans and show what he's made of. And again, I think it's been a good start for him. He had that barren spell. But I think he brings a lot more to the team than just goals.
Oh, it baffles me, though, how he can have any criticism, really. I mean, since he's joined, I'm not sure what the games to goals ratio is, but he's pretty good. I always feel confident Smith's going to score a goal when he's on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to have a look.
That's what he's there for. He's there to score goals, isn't he? And he seems to be doing it.
But now it's, as I said, he's got a player like a Beaker he can compliment, and he compliments a Beaker very, very well. Mm. And it's no surprise to see them up front, and Williams obviously on the bench.
And that's the key thing. And I think Cooper mentioned that again yesterday. The fact is that they're all scoring, and they all scored yesterday. And I think, again, Michael mentioned it a lot yesterday, it's that competition. They all know now that they've got to be at the races every game. Obviously, the JPT game, I think you'll see Williams and Obika up front, or maybe Williams and maybe one of the young lads.
How many changes can they make? We'll come on to Newport a bit later. But
I think it's the five changes, because I think that came up a lot last year, whereas Cooper wasn't really happy that you could only change, I think it's five from your last match day squad.
Mm.
So obviously Yass is suspended, so that's obviously one enforced change. But I think the good thing is they all scored yesterday. They're all getting on the score sheet on a regular basis now, and that will hopefully drive each and every one of them on to keep their performance levels up and so that they don't lose their place. So it can only be a good thing.
Okay, well, Michael Smith, he's now played 29 games for Swindon, scored 14 goals, so one every two.
Can't complain about that, can
we?
No.
Which, strike rate this year is obviously six from nine, so he's bettering his rate from last year.
I think last season it was just he wasn't Niall Ranger, was he, at the end of the day? He just got a load of flack for that, wasn't he? But he's just a good, honest working bloke who puts in a hell of a shift.
Well, that's it, because he wasn't a player that I particularly knew about before he came to Swindon. And I think that's kind of speaks volumes for a lot of fans. We'll come on later to attendances and kind of increasing the profile of the club. People naturally like people coming to the club that are name players or people who've done something elsewhere. Niall Ranger, obviously, people had heard of him.
Mm.
Kind of gets people excited because he's played in Premier League, etc. But we've got Michael Smith.
Perhaps it's too English a name. Perhaps it needs a bit more.
I love it. My dad's name is great. When it's kind of announced that the goal scorer is Michael Smith, my dad's next to me. And he's got his little smile on his face.
Lovely stuff.
I think it's easy to forget that he's only 22 as well. I think, because I sort of heard about him when he was at Darlington.
Yeah.
I remember, right, because there was obviously a bit of he was highly rated there, and obviously he eventually earned the move to Charlton. And I think because he has been around quite a long time and he's had a few loan spells, it is easy to forget he is still very young. So he's still got a lot of room to improve, and he will improve. And I think we have got an asset on our hands long term.
Well, I think if he's scoring once every other, if he's scoring every other game, my maths is not brilliant, but that's a 20 goal a season striker, 23 even, I think.
Would it be even more, because that was all competitions?
All right, okay. Yeah. So it could be a 30 goal a season 30 striker.
30 goal a season striker. So
everybody should get behind Michael Smith.
Let's
start it now.
A cup run. Yeah, exactly. Andrew touched on there about Smith's age, being a young player. They mentioned on the Football League show yesterday, I hadn't picked up on this, that the oldest player on the pitch yesterday for Swindon was 24, which would have been, I don't know.
Foddingham, maybe, but.
Branko.
Branko,
yeah. I mean, is it surprising that you know that Town are able to do all this when people typically go, "Oh, we need that experience in. That's why we should get Darren Ward signed up on a new 2-year contract."
Hmm. I'll hold my hands up to being somebody who certainly last season I thought you do need at least one or two slightly older heads in the team. Give them their due. They've really stepped up to the plate and kicked on. And I suppose, you know, as the young guys can only get experience by being in the team, can't they? That's stating the obvious. But
you're going to attempt an Alan Hansen thing here?
Yeah, you know, win anything playing with kids, are you? So, put me into retirement now. Yeah. No, I think it's been refreshing. I think, as you say, the players are increasing their value all the time. That's obviously a double-edged sword. But no, it's been very refreshing. I think, you know, that's Andy Williams comes in and I think he's seems to have that little bit of savvy, like he won a free kick at one point yesterday. Somebody came through the back of him and somebody pointed out, you know, he's just got that little bit of nous and experience to do that. But as you also said, interestingly, the Thompsons seem to have incorporated that into the game, don't they? Trying to win
massively.
The cheap free kicks.
The Thompsons have got that arm to perfection. To fate. I mean, you know, no doubt they may be feeling a little bit of pain on occasions, but they do kind of go down like a sack of spuds and stay down. We do hope they're not injured. But the other player who kind of really saw standout performance from yesterday was Kasim. And it was absolutely fantastic that his nutmeg of whatever Sheffield United player it was over on the byline led to a goal, because I got to see the highlights of it. Because just the way that he just crafted, beat two players in the end it was. Which set up Lewis Thompson's goal, but he's just so instrumental.
Words fail me. This bloke's absolutely incredible for our football club. I think just he just looks levels above where he's at. But I mean, hopefully we can hold on to him for as long as we possibly can.
Is his contract up, Andrew? End of this year, or is he on another?
No, he's contracted until 2017. I believe. I think
that would be
it's
nice.
Either 2016 or 2017.
Yeah. Well, could you get them to extend it when you speak to Cooper next?
But I think I remember when it was a Tottenham pre-season game at the start of last season, and it was before I was up in the press box. I was in the town end and I was sort of walking around my friend pointed Yasser out and said, "Oh, he looks a bit overweight, doesn't he? Don't fancy him much." And then obviously, you know, the rest is history, as they say. And he is, I think the midfield, they didn't have a point to prove, but they all flattered to deceive against Oldham. I think, you know, that it is, all credit has to go to Oldham because they did stifle that midfield free. Yeah. But, you know, they all had a bad nightly offers. And to be fair, they all bounced back yesterday.
Well, Cooper talked in midweek, actually, in the post-match interview about an element of fatigue in the midfield. But I was just surprised, which you know, is understandable to some extent because Luongo's
played two in
internationals and all that. But then how then that they're able to then turn it round 3 days later?
Yeah, well, I got the point he was trying to make. I mean, on the
it
night...
It doesn't make sense,
no,
does it?
No, I think it was the wrong choice of words, really. But on the night, we looked... I think Oldham knocked us out of our shape very quickly in that game, and we couldn't really get going on what we normally do, which is the passing game. Mm-hmm. And we were knocking the balls long, and it's just not what we're designed to do, as Cooper was pointing out.
So in essence, he's saying that they're too tired to chase them.
Maybe it was mental fatigue or something, I don't know. Yeah. But it's kind of the thing where they weren't really at the races that night for whatever reason. But they've obviously learned a lesson in a few days after that. And, they, you know, it was a totally different performance. It was a totally different atmosphere in the ground as well, to be honest. Even prior to the goals going in, I thought the crowd were very positive. I think on Tuesday night it was a little more, you know, it's Tuesday night, I've finished work, there's some football on.
I've got to go, bought a season ticket.
Yeah. It was a bit like that, and yesterday everyone was up for it.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be more games than, you know, more games like what we saw yesterday than Tuesday. And let's face it, Tuesday against Oldham was our bogey team as well. And we still got a point out of it, which I don't think we would have done in previous seasons.
Mm. Cool. OK, well, all of these results move Swindon up to fourth in the table with a game in hand. So potentially we could be second if we score plenty of goals. But, I mean, it's a cracking sort of start to the season for Swindon, somewhere off Bristol City, leading the division at the moment. And, well, we sort of were... I mean, talk there about atmosphere, Steve, and sort of move on to the attendances. I mean, the low attendances continued yesterday. The gate of 7,500 was 900 down from last season's fixture with the Blades, which in itself, me even at last season, I thought 8,500 wasn't a fantastic amount in itself. Yeah. So overall, it's probably sort of significantly down from what potentially should be. I mean, Lee Power's bemoaned the missing thousands in the programme notes the other day. I mean, Sam also wrote an article the other day picking up a number of points about price, disillusionment with the ownership battle over Jed and Lee Power, proximity to London, the attraction to sort of bigger teams. I mean, it's so much the supporters' trust are going to be looking at in terms of the attendances and what the trust can do to help bring more people into the ground. I mean, is there any sort of quick fix? What can the club do? In the end, it's always down to the club.
Yeah, you know? Well, I think the quick fix is difficult. So I think it's something that grows over time. And like you say, the trust, we are looking at that. We're not going to have all the answers. We're not professional marketers or anything, but we are. You know, you can do your research, and I've looked into a few things. I think the key to it all is getting the families back involved, really. When you look around the ground, there's a lot of people my age and older. That's pretty old, I can tell you. But we do need to try and get those young families coming back. I think there's so much more to offer. I mean, you cannot complain about the product on the pitch, but people do make excuses. And I've lived in Swindon. I'm a Swindonian. I lived in Swindon all my life, pretty much. So I can remember working at the club 10 years ago, people would have things like, well, I'm not going to go there while Andy King's in charge. Mm. Well, okay, that's fine. Andy King's not in charge anymore. Are those people going now? I suspect they've just found a different reason not to go. So it's really disappointing the amount of people in Swindon that go to the games. Again, whilst working at the club, I got to see the season ticket database. And I can tell you lots of them were from the outskirts of Swindon. So something to work on. By all means, kids around town wearing the Chelsea shirts, the Arsenal shirts, all that kind of thing. That's fine if you want to support a Premiership club, but everybody should also support their local club, and I think that's the angle we've got to go from and get them coming along to games. I mean, my boy was there yesterday, 6 years old. He's been coming to games only this season. He's junior red this season. Yeah, before the game, he got to meet Louis Thompson, Massimo Luongo, Nathan Thompson. All three of them fantastic. Kasim, we mentioned earlier, absolute class on the pitch. He's absolute class off the pitch as well. So spent a long time talking to my boy, photos, all that kind of thing. You don't get that at your Manchester United's.
No.
So they do. We do need to get that message across. I think a lot of people still think, oh, there's trouble at football and all that kind of thing. That's a nonsense. It's a nice family day out, and that's what we've got to get the families back in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, Neil, yesterday's game was the first this season that was in the gold category, which was the £27 match day tickets. I mean, you're a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
You live outside Swindon, in Oxfordshire.
How's this, OL boy?
Would you?
For me, prices, I think, yeah, we discussed it yesterday, and £27, I think that's going to put a hell of a lot of away fans off, as well as just Swindon fans, quite frankly, if you're looking at travelling down from Sheffield and fuel costs and everything else.
But would you, I mean, bearing in mind the performance and the results, was what was presented to us as a, you know, in hindsight package, was it worth £27? That's the key question.
We got lucky yesterday, didn't we? No, say got lucky, you know what I mean. But hopefully that will have an effect. If, you know, a few people will have seen what happened yesterday and come on to the next game. Sod's Law says it might be a rubbish game and they won't come back after that. But we hope not. Let's be positive about it. So I do think the ticket prices ultimately are having a pretty heavy impact on the bums on seats, I think.
Mm. But they're not... This is the first one that's any different to last season.
Mm.
With this game, and it's been down previously, and they've been at the £20-25 mark, and they've still been down, really. Yeah. Which is strange, which kind of hints that it's perhaps not price that's putting people off, necessarily.
Suitably. I mean, it sounds perverse, given what we've just been talking about, and the quality of football that was on offer yesterday. I think there might still be a few dissenting voices who've got the nerve to turn around and say, well, the style of football Swindon are trying to play just doesn't do it for me. They spend so much time going backwards and sideways, and if you haven't got the patience to see that, you know, and you've been along and seen a few Di Canio-esque games where it was pretty all action, it seems stupid to say that, but I think there'd be...
With Di Canio, was it just that, I was speaking to Alex before the game yesterday, was it just that what was on offer, Andrew, with Di Canio was a very predictable pattern of football being played on the pitch, and so that people found it exciting because they knew that within three kicks, potentially, the ball would go up the wing, Cadiz would overlap, Richie would cut inside, the ball would be, there'd be a shot at goal. It's much more straightforward, you knew what was happening, so it was more exciting, it's more simplistic.
Yeah, I think the problem is that, you know, there's no secret facts, you know, a section of the support have been on the downer since the Di Canio days, because, you know, obviously the man was great for the club up until the end, and sort of all the fanfare that came with him. But I think, going back to the current issues, obviously Price does have an impact. Obviously I had a lot of Sheffield United fans contacting me on Twitter to say they weren't happy, and it's under, you know, the prices are steep, but again the club have obviously put those prices out for a reason. For the, I think the root of it, and I think someone said the other day in comment to Sam's article who mentioned it, that it wasn't anything to do with this, but I think it's naive to say it isn't, is the court case. I think the court, first and foremost, the court case left a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouth. I was there to cover it, and it was very, it, you know, some of the stuff that came out was obviously, you just sat there and think, you know, why is this allowed to happen? And just the way it dragged on, and the decision was delayed, and you know, it did leave a very bitter taste in the mouth. But the court case went on the whole lot longer than I think anyone had budgeted for and expected. Because really, once a verdict was delivered, it should have been a cut and dry. Again, I'm no expert on the legal side of things.
Well, judging by the judges' conclusions, it should have been drawn out a lot quicker.
We were given the sort of manuscript of what the judges said in the wake of the verdict. If you read through it, there's probably 10 or 15 times he basically calls Jed McCrory's evidence into question. So that makes you think that, you know, why wasn't it?
I think it's just the way the law works, isn't it? It takes a long time. And unfortunately, it came at a bad time for us.
Yeah,
in terms of season tickets,
and I think that's what it was, because it dragged on that long, and it cut. You know, the players were back in pre-season by the time this was decided. Obviously, a lot of, you know, Lee had budgeted forward, obviously gone out the window, and I think this is, you know, it's catching up with him, and maybe some of the fans have, because don't forget, this wasn't a one-off for Swindon. This wasn't, you know, we haven't had a rosy time with owners. You know, it seems to be every couple of years.
There's always something to write about at Swindon. That's the problem, isn't it? Always something happening. I mean, with the actual sort of season tickets, I know that Lee Power said, Andrew, that it's 1,000 down, but have they actually said that that's because of season tickets or match day sales? Because I remember under Fitton's time, because the amount of season ticket holders was increasing from about 3,000, it went up to nearly 6,000 at one point. They were quite happy to publicise how many season ticket holders we actually had. So you can kind of gauge, you know, that there would be sort of...
they raised 6K, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the supporters would get a discount if we actually hit that figure. We just missed out, but it was about 5,500 in the
average. Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest push we've ever seen for it, isn't it?
But what, you know, the club haven't confirmed it.
No.
But is this 1,000? Is 800 of that 1,000? It'd be a nice question if you could ask.
Yeah,
because it just kind of helped to clarify it, really.
Yeah.
Because it what it means for then is that, well, we know that away fan numbers have also been down this year. So how's it? They've got to tackle that. They've got to tackle away fans. Or is it that the amount of match day people is still the same? Because at the moment people are moaning about attendances, but that might not be match day people turn up on the gate, but that might not actually be the problem.
Yeah.
It might just be, and that would prove it is purely down to the actual, as Steve said and you said about the actual ownership thing, because that was the time when people would, you know, God, do I part with my £300? Where does it go?
Yeah,
and can they now offer half season tickets?
I was going to say that they've got to. I think,
yeah.
If they, you know, that's a must.
Why can't they offer a package now for the remaining games?
I think it's something, you know, Steve Anderson, the general manager, mentioned in his programme notes yesterday, which I put out on Twitter, that they are looking at ways of improving the matchday experience, and you hope something like that with the ticketing is at the forefront of those plans. Because again, I understand that for some people it will be price, and I understand that it is hard out there, and you know, a lot of people won't be able to get to every game. But if that style of football yesterday, and let's be fair, it's been there for most of this season, Oldham the exception. If that doesn't bring certain people back, I don't know what will, because you can't really get much better than that yesterday.
So. It was a fantastic performance. Right, well, moving on to sort of media briefly about, you know, seeing his Andrew's here to answer for his industry. 2 weeks ago, we published an article highlighting a slight frustration about the number of sort of local news sources to some extent, and about the frequency of news, primarily from the perspective that I personally feel that there's quite a lot of information and I might miss out on some good journalism or something because of I can't keep up with it at all. That's probably the basis, really. I'll come to sort of Andrew in first, but, you know, I reckon the views of Steve and Neil on sort of, you know, well, how do you consume your news from the county ground? Because you're not on Twitter, are you?
No. So, I'm an old fart, I'm afraid. I just pick up the Adver and read the reports. So occasionally go on the Adver website, but no, that's the one channel I use, really. So I guess I'm increasingly a minority, but I was really like reading a book or whatever. It's just hold something in your hands and it's there when I get home in the evening and the paper and flick home. I prefer to do it that way, really. So it's the easy way. It's as a creature of habit, I suppose, but...
Do you ever feel that you've missed out on anything, or any breaking news or anything, or do you?
No, I do. Yeah, undoubtedly.
I work with people who are just constantly on the Sky Sports News type mentality, and it's everything. But so I hear a lot by word of mouth, I suppose. And I'll hold my hands up. I didn't even know Louis Thompson had moved to Norwich until probably that's about 48 hours after the transfer window closed. But. It's the little bubble that I'm
in. It didn't affect your quality of life?
Exactly, no. No. Especially if he's here till the end of the season. So, no. But, I could use the internet a lot more than I do. But, I spend the 8 hours a day at least plonked in front of a computer screen. So, it's I don't have a tablet or anything like that, I must admit. So,
no.
Newspaper works for me. So,
okay. Well, Steve, you probably the same as me. Try and keep up with as much as you possibly can, or...
Obviously, I love all the social media stuff and all that. Worked in IT for donkey's years, so it's kind of my area anyway. But for me, I just follow lots of people on Twitter, including yourselves.
Oh, thank you.
And when something takes my fancy, I have a look at the article. So I go across all of them, really.
So it's all about you. I mean, something which obviously Flick, I noticed, concentrate on is the attention-grabbing headline. You like a good headline?
Yeah, it's me that write a headline, but
because it's difficult then, because the amount of news there is to make yourself stand out. I mean, how do you actually carve out a position for yourself? Because you've only been at Flick since December, January.
I think I started in December last year. I think the problem with us is that Flick is a new outlet that is. Generally is a proper news outlet, and it's not trying to be a gimmick. And I've had a lot of suspicion since I started, and I still do from some sections, and I completely understand that. Some people don't like my stuff and they don't like my style, and they'd rather go to the Adver, which has been around 160 years, and or Sam, who's a very, very good journalist and I've got a lot of respect for, and I think what he does is absolutely fantastic. So for us, it still is the case. I post all my articles on social media because for us it's still we're still in those days of trying to get our brand out there, and I hope we have proved to a section of Swindon fans that we are a credible news site for Swindon Town News. I like to think we have done a bit different as well of certain things. We've got a lot of exciting things planned with Sam Parkin at the moment. We've got a lot of different features that haven't really been seen on the media scene in Swindon. I'd like to think planned over the next few weeks. So I like to think that'll add another string to our bow. But it's hard, I read the article you did, and you made some very, very good points, and I agreed with it all. And the fact is that there is a lot. We've got Link Sport now, where Sam Morzev is gone. There is a lot of us, but I like to think that ourselves, Sam at Link Sport, and the Adver all offer something different. And I'd like to think people can just go and sort of, flick and choose between the three. Really.
Well, I mean, perhaps just me because of what I do, I feel like I must read everything because I've got to kind of keep up.
Get reading, Ron. Get reading.
It's so difficult that I don't have enough time because I'll come on to it now. Because being membership secretary of the Supporters Trust, I have an awful lot of information to input onto our database at the moment.
Yeah, hurry up with that as well.
Yeah, new membership drive is going quite well, seeing that the Trust had not many members at the start of this year. Mm. And is now over 800 after a very successful drive.
Yeah, nearly 900, in fact. So we're really pushing
not
on.
Not even up to date.
No, it's... Well, we've made a definite effort to try and get out there. We do actually want to work with the social media outlets as well, if we can, to get the message out. I mean, we've got a lot of good things coming up that we want to be publicising. And it's going to be very exciting, I think, for all the fans. And bringing the fans together is the kind of thing I was shouting on the megaphone yesterday. That's what we're trying to do. So as you walk past us outside the ground on a match day, please sign up if you haven't done so already. It's only a pound for a year.
Yeah.
Or you can join online, www.truststfc.com. But yeah, just going back to what you were saying before, I think we're really lucky in Swindon to have the social media presence and the websites that we have, because I think everyone's up in their game, you know, as a result. You're all competing against each other in a way. And as a result, the quality of stuff that we're reading, I think, has gone up a notch. Long may it continue.
Good. I think you've hit... You know, just go and make a final thing. I think you hit the nail on the head there, and this is by no means a criticism of the club, because you know they're not lucky to have as many staff as other clubs do in the media department. But obviously, the stuff that comes out of the club is the basic stuff, and sort of the Twitter account is most active on the match day. And I think as you said, you know, we are all up in our game, and we all sort of bring different qualities and different ideas to the table. And I know we all. You know, like I said, the advert, Link Sport, and our house at Flick are all got different ideas. And I think you'll see a lot more of them implemented over the next season, which will hopefully, you know, as I've said before, will give fans, you know, something different. Because, you know, we all, you know, football mad and want something different from our coverage. You know, you have all the sort of bog standard stuff and press calls that you get, but you know, we're all working on bringing you something different to our coverage, which will hopefully, you know, add to the quality of the.
Sam's got his own podcast, and he's got his own podcast voice.
It's very
Alan Partridge-esque. It's very, very good. I was going to put on a special podcast voice today, but I really can't do it. And although you might be thinking that this is my podcast voice, but this is just me speaking normally, so apologise for that. Right, now Swindon have got two games coming up this week. Away games... Newport County, woohoo, Johnson's Paint Trophy, woohoo, I'm really excited about that competition.
Well, you will be when we get to Wembley, won't you?
Well, yes, I was going to say that. I mean, typically the last couple of years, I didn't go last year to any of the games until the... I didn't even go to the Peterborough, I watched it on telly. So no, I contributed nothing to atmosphere.
We were desperately unlucky not to get to Wembley last year. I was gutted about that one. Mm. You know, it was a great day out the year before. Well, wasn't... It was okay day out when we did get there for the final. Disappointing
up until
in the end.
The game started.
Yeah,
it was pretty rubbish. And so I presume you'll be down there, Andrew, down to Newport. Anyone else going down to Newport?
I sadly won't be making it to Newport, but I'm sure I'll go to at least all of the home games.
No, okay. Well, then Kazim's suspended for that midweek game, which would be probably quite good actually, give him a bit of a rest. Because I presume suspensions don't count towards the actual five players who have to the rule that you mentioned earlier. It can't do.
I'll have to go back on it because I know...
Because that'd be an interesting way to get around the rule, wouldn't it, if you get players suspended?
Yeah, obviously there's a few murmurings yesterday, but it'll be, you know, Kassim's suspension will give him a rest, but it'll be an ample opportunity to give Jake Reeves 90 minutes because I think the three cameos he's had against Bradford Alderman yesterday, he's looked...
I think we're all happy with him, aren't we?
Player. Yeah. I think you just, you know, the abundance of Richards... Town boast in that midfield area. It's got to be one of the, if not the strongest midfields in League One. And, you know, Ben Gladwin, when he comes back from injuries, improving game by game. I've been really impressed with him this season before his injury. We've got Anton Rogers, who we haven't seen yet, but obviously we've got to give him a chance as well. So,
But then we need them to be able to use that competition then to actually give the players game time, really. So hopefully, and then we've got Barnsley away next Saturday. Danny Wilson, they kind of at the wrong end of the well, they don't care really. They could be at the wrong end of the division, as far as I'm concerned. Really, they don't get two hoots about Barnsley. As far as they're concerned, they probably think they're at the wrong end of the division. Not going quite well for Danny Wilson there on his return after guiding him up to the Premier League with Neil Redfern back in 1995, whatever it was.
But 27 or so, probably, is it? But
long time ago.
Mm. I mean, a couple of tough games coming up, I think, personally. I think Barnsley will have a point to prove. And I think they are. Having come down from the Championship last season, I think they'll consider themselves. And the Crows are still around the 10,000-ish mark, I think. So they'll be can probably rightly consider themselves one of the bigger fish in that league. And do just have a, be call me cynical, but I have a slight concern over the game against Newport. I think the pitch will be a bit of a quagmire from what I've heard, because I think they won't be on it as
it
well.
It was last year, I remember. They had many games postponed over quite a long period, a bit of fixture back up there, because it's... was it Rodney Parade?
Rodney.
It's a very...
Anyway,
very name for a football round, isn't it? Anyway, right. That's all that we got time for this week on the podcast. A massive thanks to Andrew, Neil and Steve for joining me. We'll be back in a few weeks, so thanks for listening. Goodbye. See you. Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.